I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Hosea. Hosea, I'm going to read Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Now I want you to be, you who are interested in the gospel, I want you to be much in prayer that I might be enabled of the Holy Spirit to preach tonight. Preaching is not easy. It is getting more difficult all the time. Every day it gets just a little bit more difficult. Not because we don't have a message. We have a message. The well never runs dry. But because we don't have an ear to which to deliver it, that's the problem. It's not that we don't have some good news to tell. We don't have anybody that's interested in hearing it. That's the problem. It's not that we don't have a great God to worship, but we don't have anybody who needs God today. And it's getting difficult and more difficult all the time to preach to careless, indifferent, unconcerned, world-loving, pleasure-loving, vanity-loving people. And I need your prayers tonight. And it's true not only of the world, it's true of this congregation and every congregation. There is an inner circle, and then there is the partially concerned, and then there's the vast outer circle of unconcerned in things of God. And if we can get a dozen ears to hear the gospel who are interested in hearing it, and a dozen hearts that are concerned enough for the glory of Christ to wait on the Lord, preaching will become a little more easier. In the book of Hosea, chapter 3, verse 1, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an omer of barley, and an half omer of barley, and I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee." Now if you stand back and look at the book of Hosea, the name Hosea is the same name with Joshua and with Jesus. It's the same name. The word Hosea means in the Hebrew, deliverer. And when the word Hosea, the name Hosea, is mentioned in the Hebrew concordance and lexicon, it means Jehovah will save. And you'll find this name, Hosea, the name Joshua, and the name Jesus, all meaning the same thing. Redeemer, deliverer, Savior, God will save. Hosea is a type of Christ, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this being true, it's surprising that we don't hear more messages preached on Hosea. We hear a great number of messages on Joseph and Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, and we should. But the very fact that this man's name is the same as Joshua, which is the Old Testament name for Jesus, the very fact that this man's name in the Hebrew is the same as Jesus, that is, deliverer, Jehovah will save, then we need to hear from him. Now, his writings are not easy to interpret. They're difficult to interpret. But this book is literally drenched It is literally drenched with grace. It is literally drenched with the gospel. It's there, and it's one of the most beautiful pictures of Christ's work to be found anywhere in the Word of God. And the key verse is verse 1 of chapter 3 that I've just read here. Then said the Lord unto me, that is to Hosea, to the deliverer. He said, go yet, continue. You already love this woman. Keep on loving her. Go love a woman. She's beloved of her friend. That is, she's got lots of friends. And she is a whore. She's a prostitute. She is an adulteress. She's a woman who sells her body. But all of this is to be done to picture, to typify, to show forth the love of the Lord. That's why I want you to do this, God said to Hosea. I want you to do this to show something, to show the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods, who are spiritual adulterers and who love flagons of wine. Now, we go back to chapter 1, and let me give you just a summary of this book. God came to the prophet Hosea and said to him, I want you to take a wife from among a people of whoredom. That was their way of life. That was their habit of life. That was their the way they did things. They were heathen. They were barbarians. That's the way they lived. And God said for this man to go down, Hosea, and among the people of whoredom, to take a wife unto himself, which he did. He married a woman. Her name was Gomer. And after he married her, she bore him 3 children. And then during that time and after that time, she began practicing her way of life. She began practicing prostitution. She began selling her body. She went back to the ways. She never left them for a while. She was married to Hosea. But she went back to the ways of her people. And she left Hosea for her paying lovers. And then, how much time passed, I do not know, but God brought her down. He brought her down to poverty. He brought her down to unhappiness. He brought her down to lewdness. He brought her down to depression. And evidently, she became, having been used as she was, she became an unlovely person. She lost her beauty. And she was auctioned off on a block. She was auctioned off as a common slave, not as a beautiful woman. She was auctioned off not as a useful woman anymore. She was auctioned off as a common slave. We find that out from the fact that Hosea only paid 15 pieces of silver for her, and that was the price of a common slave, not a beautiful slave, not a useful person, not one who someone would want, but she was auctioned off as a common slave. And Hosea still loved her. He endured the humiliation. He endured the embarrassment. He endured the shame of going down to that auction block and publicly purchasing back his wife. He bought her back. He paid the price, and he bought her back, even as Christ our Lord made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of sinful men, and came down to this earth and purchased us off the slave block of sin. And then Hosea took her home with him. It says in verse 3 of chapter 3, and told her that you'll be mine now. You'll abide with me forever. You'll not play the harlot. You shall not be for another man, and I shall be for you. Now, this beautiful story, this experience, Hosea actually went through this experience. This is not a parable. This is something that actually happened. God put his prophet in this particular situation. He named him the name that he gave him, Deliverer, Redeemer, Savior. He sent him through this experience. Hosea lived it. He experienced it. He actually loved this woman in order that he might show us how Christ loved us and how he gave himself for us. That's what he says here in chapter 3, verse 1. You go yet love a woman. Don't profess to love her. Don't pretend to love her. Don't try to show you love her. He says you go love her. And you buy her back. And all of this is to show the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods. Now let's go back. Let me give you 6 points just briefly and show you this beautiful type of our master. Now go back to chapter 1, verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. The Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Hosea went among a people who were a vile people. Now, I don't know that this woman, Gomer, whom he married, was already a prostitute. Possibility, she was a very young woman. Possibility, they married then quite young, 14, 15, 16, 17, and there's a good possibility she was not at that time a prostitute. But she was among a people, a sinful tribe. She was among a fallen people. And Hosea went down among this fallen people and chose this woman to be his bride. Now then, you say, how does that relate to Christ? It relates to Christ in this way, that our Lord, way back yonder in eternity, before man was created, our Lord chose a bride. He chose a people. And he chose that bride, and he chose those people from among a fallen people. Just as Gomer, Hosea's wife-to-be, had not yet begun her profession, she will begin it. He chose her from among a fallen people, a fallen tribe, a fallen race. He chose her from among people who practiced this thing as a way of life. This was their way of life. And God said, you go down among them. You go down among all of this sewer atmosphere, this cesspool of iniquity, this tribe of corruption, and you pick you out a wife and you go love that woman. And Christ came and picked him out a bride from among a fallen, corrupt race. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me show you that. Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He hath blessed us, having chosen us, look at it, according as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be his bride, that we should be holy, that we should be without blame, that we should partake with him in his glory, that we should be one with him. He came down here and chose us. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. We didn't deserve his love. Even as Gomer did not deserve the love of Hosea, we didn't deserve Christ's love. She didn't deserve his love, and we didn't deserve Christ's love. And we didn't love him. Gomer didn't love Hosea. Gomer didn't begin to love Hosea until over here in chapter 3 when he bought her. She didn't really begin to love him until he bought her. He loved her first. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. We didn't love him. He first loved us. We love him because he loves us. We've got to be brought to see his love. We've got to be brought down to where this woman was brought before we'll actually love Christ. Christ said to Simon the Pharisee, he said, to whom much is forgiven, they love much. Why don't people love Christ today? They don't know Christ. That's why they don't love him. They've never been brought to the place of Gomer. They've never been brought to the place of the fallen woman. They've never been brought to the place of Mary who bathed his feet. They don't love him. And this choice which Hosea made, this choice when he went down there among these people and picked out Gomer, this choice was based solely on his mercy. Not from any good that he saw in her, or not that any good he foresaw in her. God had already told Hosea what she's going to be like. He said in chapter 1, verse 2, he said, you go take you a wife of whoredom and children. You're going to have children in your household that are produced from her love affairs all over the countryside. You're going to have children of whoredom. I'm telling you, God said, what your bride's going to be like. But you're going to love a woman, and the choice is going to be based solely not on what she is, not from where she came, not from what she'll do, not what you foresee in her. You're going to love a woman who doesn't love you. And you're going to love a woman who can produce absolutely nothing. He didn't go down to this land of whoredom, down to this terrible place, these fallen people, and look around saying, I believe this young lady is going to turn out good. I believe this young lady is going to be different from her father and mother and different from her aunts and uncles and different from her cousin, so I'll choose her. She's just like them. And she's going to walk the same path they walk, God said. She's going to do the same thing they do. She's going to be just like them. And even so, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now here's what I'm saying. When God chose you, if he did, when God chose you, he didn't choose you because you were any different from anybody else. You were part of a fallen race. When God chose you, it was not because he saw you were going to be different or do anything different from what your fathers did. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. Speaking to Israel, the Lord said, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. You were the fewest of all. But here's the reason. He loved you. He loved you. He loved you. Christ said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. God said, Jeremiah, I have separated you from your mother's womb. I have ordained you before you were born. I have set my affections upon you. Paul said in Galatians 1:15, God, who was pleased to separate me from my mother's womb, revealed his son to me. Hosea went down into this land of evil and picked out a bride based on his mercy and based on his love. Not on her return and not on her response and not on her righteousness, but solely on his grace. And that's the way the Lord chose his people. He chose them out of a sinful people. He chose them out of a fallen people. He chose them out of a corrupt race. And he did it because he would. He did it because he loved them, not because they loved him. That's the first picture. All right. Let's see the second picture now. So he chose her, and he said, she's mine. She's mine. And God chose us back yonder before the world began. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. I don't know who they are. God knows who they are. But he chose them. He said, they're mine. They're my bride. He chose his wife. Now then, so Hosea chose her, and what'd she do? She did exactly what God said she'd do. She followed the pattern of her people. In chapter 2, verse 5, Hosea said to his children, "Your mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. Your mother has said, I'll go after my lovers. They give me my bread. They give me my water. They give me my wool. They give me my flax, my oil, and my drink. I'll go after my lovers." She was from a people of corruption, and when she came of age, she began to walk that path. Now, my friends, though God loved His church, and though God loved His bride, and though God loved His elect, and though God chose them, and though God made them His own, just like Gomer, we were born with the seed of sin and rebellion implanted, embedded, buried within our hearts. Turn to Psalms chapter 51. There's just one direction that a natural man will go from the cradle, and that's down. There's just one path that an evil son of Adam's going to walk, and that's the path of rebellion. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No, sir. Can the leper change his spot? No, sir. Can you do good that are accustomed or born to do evil? No, sir. No way. No way. In Psalms 51, verse 5, David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me." You hold in your arms a newborn baby. That newborn baby can't talk, can't walk, can't feed himself. That newborn baby has in his heart a seed of sin and rebellion and evil against a holy God. And you give that baby time. I don't care where you raise him, under what circumstance you raise him. I don't care who raises him. I don't care what you teach him. That baby's going to grow up when he comes of age. And when that age is, I don't know. But when he comes to an age when he has to make a choice between the will of God and his own will, he'll choose his will. When he has to make a choice between Barabbas and Christ, he'll choose Barabbas. When he has to make a choice between doing for others and doing for himself, he'll do for himself. When he has to make a choice between good and evil, he'll choose evil. He'll walk the path of carnality, the path of evil, the path of rebellion, because that is his natural life. And he's born without a knowledge of God. Turn to Psalms 58. Let me show you this. Verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Now that's because of the original sin. That's because of the fall of Adam. You cannot get good fruit from an evil tree. You cannot get clean water from a polluted fountain. You cannot get a righteous person from a fallen father. And when God Almighty chose us, He chose us knowing what we were, where we're from, and where we'd go. And when Hosea, deliverer, type of Christ, went down into the land of whoredoms and picked him a wife, he knew what she was, he knew where she's from, and he knew where she'd go. But he loved her. He loved her. And even so, God Almighty, knowing what we are and where we're from and where we'll go and what we're made of, and the very fact from the sole of our feet to the top of our heads, whether we're infant of one day or an old, wrinkled, shriveled sinner of 100 years, there is no goodness in us. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. We walk the path of evil because we're evil. We walk the path of rebellion because we're rebels. We walk the path of sin because we're born sinners. And Gomer just went the way that of her race. When she went the way of her people, she went the way of her tribe. She's not to be pitied, she's to be blamed. But nevertheless, that's the direction she walked. Now watch this. Turn back to Hosea chapter 2. But watch this now. Hosea loved this woman. He went down and chose her. He chose this woman and he loved her. And that love never, never failed under any circumstances. That love never changed. Now God looked down in his wisdom and in his sovereign providence, and he chose a bride. He chose a people and he loved them with an everlasting love. He said, I've drawn you with an everlasting love, with an unchanging love, with an unlimited love, with an infinite love. He loved us. And when we came into this world, we're born of our parents, our first words weren't God. Our first words weren't, we love our Redeemer. Our first words and all the rest of our words were blasphemy. That's the path we walked, just like Gomer. She didn't love Hosea. She loved herself, and she wanted to walk her way, but he still loved her. She was his, and he provided for her. He gave her, look at verse 8 of chapter 2. She didn't know. It didn't dawn on her. I gave her the corn and the wine. I gave her the oil and multiplied her silver and gold. I gave it to her. She didn't know that. Wouldn't admit it, but I gave it to her. I don't know how he did this, but somebody said in a sermon one time that at night or early in the morning, Hosea would find out where she was, and he'd go, and outside her door he'd leave oil and wine and some money and all these other things, and she'd find it the next morning, and she'd say, I'll still go after my lovers. They give me bread and water and wool and flax and oil and drink. Look what they've left me secretly. Oh, no, Hosea said, I left it for her. And even so, how good our God is to us. He cares for us all our lives. Even when our steps were walking in paths of unbelief, he provided, he protected, and he led us in those steps. Even as we walk contrary to him, even in our years of rebellion, even when Saul of Tarsus, he said, God separated me from my mother's womb. But it wasn't until he was over 40 years old that God saved him. He was a religious rebel. Even when Saul of Tarsus was walking and staining the ground with the footprints of blood and rebellion and killing Christians and cursing Christ, God gave him air to breathe, food to eat, clothes to wear, and a place to sleep. God ought to cut him off, but he didn't, because he loved him. You say, Hosea shouldn't have taken this woman this stuff. Why, he loved her. Sure he should have done it. She was his. She belonged to him. He loved her. Love needs no explanation. He loved this woman. He couldn't help but love her, and he'd always love her. And wherever she was and whatever she did, he loved her. And he knew she was his forever. And even so, the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we give the praise to ourselves and to the world, Hosea supplied her need, and God met your need. And all the time you were walking your paths of rebellion, you were talking about how you studied hard and worked hard and slaved and earned your way. God gave it to you. God gave it to you. And you grab the hand of the people of this world and thank them for promoting you and thank them for helping you and thanking them for caring for you and thanking them for doing it. God's the one that did it, not your worldly lovers. God did it. And you don't ever thank him. You don't ever thank him. But that's the way it is. That's human nature. That's this world. That's the way people are. They... just like Gomer here. I'm going after my lovers. After all, they give me these. They're the ones that are important in my life. I'm going after them. I've got to keep them happy because they're giving me these things. They're making it possible for me to have fun. And she never knew that they weren't doing anything but dragging her down to hell. That's all they were doing. That's all. Hosea is the one helping her. Well, turn to chapter 2, verse 9. Now then, God brought this woman down. brought her low. Therefore, verse 9 of chapter 2, will I return and take away the corn, and take away the wine, take away the wool, take away the flax that's given to cover her nakedness. I'm going to let her get cold and hungry. I'm going to let her get weary and tired. I'm going to let her see just what she is. That's what God says. Now I'm going to discover her lewdness. I'm going to let her see what she is. And nobody can deliver out of my hand. Her life became a burden. A burden. The sweetness became bitter. The joy turned to mourning. The things that she loved, she began to hate. She was under conviction. God always, before God saves a sinner, he brings that sinner to the end of himself. God is not going to reveal Christ to you as long as you are self-righteous, holier-than-thou individual. He's not going to do it. God's going to have to make you hungry for righteousness. God's going to have to make you cold and weary with your sins. God's going to have to strip you naked and stand you before the searchlight of his law and make you feel the guilt and the filth and the burden and the hatefulness of your rebellion. You can't taste of grace until you're hungry for it. If an individual misses this experience right here, they'll miss Christ. And that's the reason I believe most religious people have missed Christ. They've missed Holy Spirit conviction. They don't like to think about their sins. They don't like to confess their sins. They don't like to admit their sins. They don't like to own their sin. They like to think that they're different, that they're a little better, that they're just a little higher, that they're just a little holier. They cannot say with Saul of Tarsus, I'm the chief of sinners. They can't say with the Apostle Peter, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. They can't say with Job, I hate myself. They can't say with Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips. They just can't do it. But God, this woman came down, and that's the experience. God chose us. He chose us from among a fallen people, a rotten people. He chose us from among the most corrupt of all, and he said, that's mine. And he loved us. And he made a marriage agreement, a covenant with us, that we became his. But we followed our path. We went our way. We did like our daddies before us and our daddies before them. And we walked the path of sin. We thought we was having a good time. We hated God and loved ourselves and hated righteousness and loved evil. And he let us go. And then we came to the end of the road, hungry and thirsty, our souls weary and fainting within us. And then we cried to the Lord. We found no city in which to dwell. We saw this is not the way. Like the prodigal son, we were broke and we were hungry and we were weary. And we said, back home in our father's house, even the servants have better than we have. Even the servants have better than we have. And verse 7, look at this. And she'll follow after her lovers, but she'll not overtake them. Verse 7, chapter 2. Chapter 2. She shall seek them. She shall not find them. Then shall she say, I'm going to go back to my husband. For then was it better with me than now. I'm going back. But here's a problem. She couldn't go back, because she belonged to somebody else. She couldn't go back because she was a captive. She was in the clutches and possession of her masters. She didn't own herself. They owned her. She belonged to a fallen system. She didn't belong to herself. She didn't have a free will.
You just can't decide, I'm going back to Jesus, are you now? What are you going to do about the law that's got you in jail? What are you going to do about the justice of God that demands your punishment? What are you going to do about that? That's like they said King Charles was in prison, way down in one of these great big castles, way down there in the bottom dungeon. They had him locked up, had him chained to a wall. A lot of steps leading up, and when you got outside, there was a great big fence. And when you got outside that, there was a great big moat, a huge moat, a water moat around it. And then beyond that, the woods, and some of his comrades sent him a note and said to him, King Charles, said, we got some horses over here in the woods, and we got a boat down here by the bank. We'll be glad to take you back home if you can get out of the dungeon. Well, now, that's the problem. How are you going to get out of the dungeon? And here was a woman. She said, things are bad. I don't like it here. I'm sick of it. I'm weary of it. I'm tired of it. I'm weary of the road and tired of the path, and I'm burdened and heavy laden. I'm going home. But she's got to be redeemed. She's got to be bought. Now, who in the world's going to buy this mass of putrid, used, broken down, ugly, useless flesh, huh? Who's going to buy this? Who wants it? Well, let's find out. Go to chapter 3. You get down there in town, and they used to have these slave auctions. And they bring this woman up, Gomer. She used to be beautiful, but she's not anymore. She used to, her lovers have deserted her. They've thrown her on the scrap heap. And here she comes. She's half her clothes are stripped off. She's dirty and her hair stringy and matted. And she's barefooted and she walks up the steps up here on the auction block. And she's old now and ugly and of no use. And there she is. And the man with the gavel hits it. He says, we've got a woman here. Who wants her? All she's worth is 15 pieces of silver and a little bit of barley. Anybody want to buy her? And she's standing there. She's a slave. She sold herself to the system. She's enslaved and in bondage to these corrupt masters. And she can't get free. She can't walk off. They've got to be paid. And somebody out there says, I'll take her. I'll pay it. And I know the auctioneer must have looked up in total surprise. And all the people turned around, and there stood Hosea, her husband. And he said, I'll take her. I'll take her. I'll pay the full price, the price of a slave. And I'll buy her back. Our Lord Jesus Christ's bride, which he chose from eternity, and in an everlasting covenant entered into a relationship with them. And we went down to the cesspools of evil. We hated him in our hearts. We loved the world. We loved the flesh. We loved the devil. We walked according to these things that the prince of the power of the air leads us into. And finally we came to the end of ourselves, and we're bound by the law and enslaved by the law and prisoners of God's justice, and we're on the auction block of sin. We're of no use to anything and anybody. And Christ Jesus the Lord, whom we have humiliated and whom we have embarrassed and whose blood we walked under our feet, and whose love we have despised, and whose home we have departed from, and who fed us while we praised other gods. He stood out there, and again he said, I'll take him. I'll take him. All right, she came down from that auction block, and he took his robe off his back, and he put it around there and covered her nakedness. And he planted a sweet, adorable kiss on her cheek. And he said to her, verse 3, are you mine? I chose you. I married you. And I redeemed you. And you're mine. I'm going to take you home with me. And you're not going to play the harlot. You're not going to worship other gods. You're going to be for me. You don't belong to other gods. You belong to me, and I belong to you. I'm your God. You're my people. Oh, I tell you, he will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. And then he'll bear me safely over where my Savior I shall meet. Now, if anybody ever sees this, I don't know whether anybody ever will or not, but if anybody ever sees this, I'm telling you, that woman, when she came down from that auction, beloved, she looked into the face of this one, this infinite love, this undying love, this compassionate love, this love that'll take on a world, this love that's willing to go through the pit of humiliation, through the awful bogs of embarrassment, this love that stayed with her through all of her rebellion. And he kissed her on the cheek and said, "You're mine, my soul." Don't you know he wouldn't have had any trouble getting her to get him a cup of coffee the next morning? Don't you know he wouldn't have had any trouble at all getting that dear woman to sit at his feet and love him for the rest of her life? That's what Christ said. To whom much is forgiven, they'll love much. If you ain't never been there, you don't love him. You can't love him. You can't understand it. If you never have been there, if you never have walked that route and swam that sea, if you never have sat in that dungeon, if you never have thrown up your hands and given up, if you never have gotten weary and tired of it all, if you never have seen Christ as your purchaser, as your redeemer, who didn't have to do it, ain't no way you can love him. No way. I don't expect you to. But I'm hoping God will, like he did to Gomer there, I hope God will show somebody what Christ has done for his own. And when he does, I'm going to find somebody and say, "Preacher, boy, I've been there and I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Christ is my life and my love and my hope." Our Father, we thank thee for thy love, indescribable, unspeakable love. We thank thee for thy grace in Christ the Lord, thy long suffering to usward, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to life, not willing that any Gomer, not one of them, should depart from thy fold. Loving us with an unspeakable, everlasting, infinite love. Lord, show us more every day our corruption. Don't ever, ever let us forget what we are. What we are by nature. What we are by choice. What we are by practice. Don't let us forget it. Don't let us lose sight of the auction block of sin, of the chains of the law, of the demands of thy holy justice. Don't let us lose sight of where we were when you chose us, and where we were when you found us, and where we were when you bought us. And we'll praise you forever and ever and ever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.